exactly.
Well, he was actually... He was actually, like... like he had a job that they could call him back and to active duty.
Mm.
He was not on active duty when he was in the graduate program here. And then he met a gal, and they had known each other before, and they kind of got back. She wasn't in the graduate program, but they kind of reunited, and they were going to get married. And Sal got, when he graduated from the graduate program, his plan was that they would get married, but he got called into active duty before any of that happened. And so I had a sister-in-law that also worked for one of the one of our like in the I'm sorry, I'm stammering. So in the oh Lord, she worked for one of the and the state people, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's all. It'll come to me. When,
mm-hmm.
when and Mary was a secretary for him, my sister-in-law. And so, and he, and his name was, oh gosh. And he skied with us at Mount Otsego. And, so Mary said, I was telling her about Sal, that number one, he was going to put a tent in his plans to be married, and also with the graduate program. So she talked to her boss about it, and he got Sal excused from going back into the military. Well, Sal has never forgotten that we pulled that one off, and so we've been friends, and he and got married, and so that was very special. Sam Stratton was the man that she worked for. Sam Stratton, he was part of the state. So that was very nice. And Sal has never forgotten the fact that, you know, his family, he's got two wonderful, wonderful, grown, handsome men for children. And he said, I wouldn't have had anything if Sam Stratton and Mary and you hadn't, you know, been able to put something. Make something happen. So that was another interesting little thing. Yeah, and this is in little Cooperstown, and little old people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So just yeah, I feel like part of something wonderful.
Did you have a good relationship with all the students, or were there some that you
I pretty much. There's some that you like. You know, you're more. They respond to you. You know, easier than some others do. But no, I think in most experiences, I think the graduate students all have been wonderful. I've always enjoyed. You know, and I enjoy what you're doing, and it's important, and it's a growing thing. When I think about 40 years ago, you know, that A lot has happened in 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Could you tell me more about how CGP got started in the first place?
Well, I think that had to do with Dr. Jones. Yeah, he definitely did.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Bruce Buckley
mm-hmm.
put the graduate program together. Yeah. It didn't exist until they did that. They had that dream. And
mm-hmm.
Bruce Buckley, I think, was working at the colleges down here in Cooper, in Oneonta.
Mm-hmm.
And so they really made it all happen, the two of them. And Minor Ryan Thomas, you wouldn't have known Minor Ryan either. He was all a part of that. He was instrumental in the graduate program
mm-hmm.
and getting the students and all that kind of stuff, too. Yep.
So because of Buckley, the graduate program was always connected to the school at Oneonta?
Yeah, I think a lot of the classes and things might have,
mm-hmm.
might have, yeah. I think he was the one that really kind of controlled and put it all together. And he was kind of a chief of the students.
Mm-hmm.
Just from my recollections.
Mm-hmm. So you were working for Dr. Jones before the graduate program
right.
was created.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how other staff were reacting to the creation of the program?
Well, I think just most of the people that were the heads of departments within NESIA
mm-hmm.
and so forth, they all kind of played a little part, you know, in that. And then it became, you know, a classroom and a school and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very interesting how those things just develop and develop and develop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when there's so many people out there in the world now that are working because of all that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Boy. Like C.R. Jones and
mm-hmm.
Sal and all that kind of stuff. Lord, I don't know. I can't imagine how many people there are now on the, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the list of people that have gone through the school system. Can't imagine. It's been a long time since I've been up there
mm-hmm.
poking my nose around.
What was your role in that time?
In the graduate student, you mean?
Yeah, so you were working for
Dr. Jones, yeah.
But were you involved with the program at all?
No, not really.
Okay.
Not really. They could always approach me if they needed to approach Dr. Jones and that sort of thing. But then Dr. Jones retired and,
mm-hmm.
and went off on, you know, off on the Aggie Wagon and looking for new undiscovered folk art. And then he wrote some books about, you know, this, that, and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting to be on the ground floor and watched it flourish. Really. And it wasn't because I was a part of it. You know, I was there to do what I had, was I was to do. Mm-hmm. But you were friends with everybody. And it's not like the people that there's the boss, you know, doesn't hardly speak to the whatever. Mm-hmm. It was a family. Mm-hmm. That's how it all started. It was all a family. Yeah.
What was Buckley like during this time?
Very nice. Very, very nice guy. Yeah. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Busy. Obviously, he had had a lot of things that he did. Mm-hmm. Brought it all together, too. He really did bring the graduate program together. Yep. So
after the program was established, what was it like to have that first group of students come in?
That was the one that C.R. Jones was in, but I didn't get to know the students right away. Mm-hmm. That kind of grew because the graduate students kind of relaxed and became, and then started doing something. They came from something to learn something. You know, they weren't already doing it and then coming and doing it. Mm-hmm. They came and then hit up the graduates, you know, classes, became what they are because of people's involvement with them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like some of the girls that are teaching now, like mm-hmm. our Cooperstown girls, you mm-hmm. know. And that's pretty nice too. Mm-hmm. It's like a family up there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So, you mentioned a few times that you still keep in touch with a few of the students, and that you kept in touch with Jones. Is there any other person on the staff of NESHA or the graduate program that you keep in touch with, or at least did for a while?
No, I think they've all. There've been a lot of changeovers and changeovers, and of course I haven't been there mm-hmm. for all those almost 40 years now either. So some of them have passed on, and
right.
So that I was, you know, really close with and involved, and a lot of the people that are there now don't know me mm-hmm. as part of it, a part of you. So.
Right.
So that's different.
Mm-hmm. But as for the people you actually worked with, there's really no one that you stay in close touch with. What are some of your fondest memories from your times there?
Well, I've been telling them to.
Yes, I've heard quite a few. Is there something that just sticks out in your head when every time you think of NESHA?
Dr. Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I loved the fact that we were a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's like that now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't happen to see. Of course, I'm not there to see it either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we grew as a family,
mm-hmm.
and it's paying off, obviously.
Mm-hmm. How long did you work at NESHA?
Oh my goodness! Well, the probably 4 or 5 years before the library building even was constructed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, I can't tell you exactly what year or anything,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, we used to have a gathering before the library building was built or anything. We used to have coffee hour downstairs, and there was a hallway down when you came in the front door, if you turned and went, probably kind of where the gift shop, behind the gift shop in that area, there was a whole big long table, and we all used to gather down there for coffee hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a learning process too for everybody. Anybody had a question? Anybody had a joke? Anybody? You know, it was a family. It really was a family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there were anything talked about that shouldn't be talked about, you know, about a person or anything like that. It was just trading information, what's been going on, and what's this, and what's that. And that was before the graduate program even started, actually. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was neat because, like I said, it was all a family. And I think it's too bad, actually, that the people that work get too involved, and it's gotten too big. It can't become that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It can't become that family anymore. But I think as you all go out into the world, keep yourself open to the new people as they come on, and let them explore you as helpful, and you'll be learning a lot more that way by interacting with the graduate students. And you won't be staying right with your class, you
mm-hmm.
know. It'll be bigger and bigger, and they've all loved it, like Sal, and I certainly think CR enjoys all that. He'll know all this stuff. He pretty well, let's say he was in the first class. Well, there's a lot went on before him. But Sal's wonderful. He's been with several different universities, and we've become a bonded friendship. He and his wife and his two boys and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's special to have a friendship that long, and for all the good reasons.
To switch gears a little bit, you mentioned earlier that when you first started, well, pretty soon after you started working at Nisha, you divorced your husband, and so you were taking care of your family, and then later on you met Howard and married him. So how did you balance your family life with your work life at Nisha?
Well, my daughter worked in the loft of the, when she wasn't in school. Of course,
mm-hmm.
my kids were in school.
Right.
She, for some summer work, She worked up in the spinning and weaving loft with Virginia Partridge and learned to do all that. And, you know, we always took care of our own brats. All these people that we worked with and everything. Our kids always had a job there if they wanted it. My son worked at the country club, and he was did sailing instructions and all that kind of stuff there. But my kids, I could drop them off at work. I could drop Jim off at the country club and pay him over at the farm, farmer's museum. So they were brats. They were Nisha brats too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good experiences for them too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was a very accepting place.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you close to the children of any other staff members?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I can't put my foot on a finger on anybody in particular. But it was a small town, a lot smaller town. And and a very, very open beyond. Like, I knew everybody's kids, you know. Some of the teachers, some of the bosses, you know, knew all their kids. They were still growing up, too.
Mm-hmm. So you were very involved in the community then. Mm-hmm. After you decided to leave Nisha, what did you end up doing?
Married Howard. And we went into several businesses together. I left Nisha because of the person, you know, that otherwise I probably would have stayed there for quite a while. Mm-hmm. But that all changed, and it was not changing for the good with me. Mm-hmm. And some of the other people too, otherwise he would not have been let go.
Mm-hmm. After he was let go, did you consider going back?
No, because I was already, Howard and I were already involved. We've always been involved. Yeah.
So what were some of the things you got involved in together?
Well, we bought a building on Main Street in Cooperstown that was an old garage, car garage right on Main Street that was Bob Cook's father, and it we did it over. We built the buildings on were all broken down garages on the back of that building that now are stores in the back, where the it's attached to the built. To the back of that building anyway. And we put in a really, really nice antique shop, but it was good antiques. It was valuable antiques. That's one thing that Howard brought to the forefront, because he was a bachelor, and he had been in business downstate, and then when he sold that business, he moved up to Cooperstown. That was something he wanted to do. He'd been up there, and he said, this is where I want to be. Mm-hmm. First person he ever spoke to was, Jimmy and I, my son and I, were taking care of Dr. Jones and Aggie's house. Mm-hmm. They had moved up on the corner, but they were on the Aggie wagon all over the United States for a year. So the house was for sale. That's the big one, just as you go across the bridge on the river. And that was their house, and I was taking care of that. And Jimmy used to come from school and go check it out, make sure that the, you know, the windows hadn't been broken or mm-hmm. whatever. And Howard hit town, and he was looking for a realtor, or he was kind of looking the town over because he wanted to find something. That, and so he went down into that house because it had a for sale sign on it, and Jimmy happened to be coming out the front door. So the first person that Howard ever spoke to in this whole town was turned out to be his stepson that had been a, I'll just let that ring. Mm-hmm. Which was kind of a neat story, I think. Mm-hmm. Been a real nice family. Mm-hmm. So Howard just cruised around, and Jimmy showed him where there was a realtor, and the realtor took him up to our house that we had.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of, up in Firestone.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I came along and crashed a party.
How long was Howard in town before you met him?
Probably 3 or 4 months.
Okay, so he was pretty new.
He was getting to know people. He knew Tom Goodyear, Bob Cook, he knew all. Because Betty Morris and so they were introducing him to all mm-hmm. the people that we all knew.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got ready to leave that Christmas, and he said, "Now just bring your family and husband and everything." And Betty said, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, she's the available one." And then my life was over. He wouldn't leave me alone.
And if I could just ask about Betty for a second. You said you worked with her at Nisha?
Oh, yes. Okay. She was the PR person for Nisha. That was her job. That's an important job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we were great buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she and I.
Was she involved with marketing the graduate program then and trying to bring in the first class?
No, I don't think she was. I think actually that the graduate program, I have a feeling, and I probably was marketed probably by Bruce Buckley, who was involved, I think, with the museum, or with the
Oneonta?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
It's terrible. You know, the colleges.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Got Dr. Jones involved, you know, and that all kind of worked.
Mm-hmm. It's
between the two of them, I think, kind of. Made it all happen. But I think Bruce was on the staff at the colleges,
mm-hmm.
If I'm not mistaken. And then he was trying to woo
mm-hmm.
Dr. Jones, and it worked.
Mm-hmm. So you said you lived in the house that Howard moved to when he moved to the area, and then
I had my own house.
Okay.
I had my own house
right.
Down on the corner of down by between the two I'm running out of steam here. Between the Presbyterian Church and the Episcopal Church.
Okay.
I lived on the corner between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my house. That's okay. Where my kids and I lived.
Gotcha.
So